I just want to share with you what I think are six reasons why people don't really pray today. Number one, a lot of us don't know how to pray. Really? Like, we may have grown up in traditions or families where nobody taught us how to pray. We've heard other people pray, and they use words and language that maybe seems really foreign to us, because sometimes when people pray, they move out of conversation mode into this, like, high Shakespearean language that is, like, so eloquent that we're like, I don't know how to do that. That maybe nobody ever taught us that actually, prayer is very simple, which is what we're going to talk about today. So maybe today you're thinking, you know, I've never been taught how to pray. I don't even know where to begin. I don't know, do I stand? Do I sit? Do I pray out loud? Do I have to hold my hands like this? Like, how am I supposed to pray? Well, we're going to talk about that. I think another reason why people don't pray today is that a lot of us get bored or distracted trying to pray. Now, you might think, no, I would never admit that. Okay, so maybe the bored seems a little harsh, but how many times when you've started to pray and and all of a sudden you thought, man, I've been praying a long time, and you look and it's been 30 seconds. You're like, okay, I haven't prayed very long. I had the opportunity to go to South Korea many years ago. And in the churches there, they encourage their people to pray so much, they encourage people to have prayer closets in their homes where literally they go and pray all night long. Get this, on their knees. And they don't squirm. They actually have developed so that they could just be like this the whole time. Have you ever tried to sit like this? How many of you can last more than like 20 seconds without squirming? So sometimes some of us get bored when we're praying, or sometimes we get distracted. You ever find yourself praying and then all of a sudden in the midst of your prayer, you're like, I got to do my laundry today, and I got, oh, that project at work, I got to do that, and oh, gosh, you know, that thing at school, and you're going, whoa, what happened? You started so good. God, I just want to come to you and share some things on my mind, and I got to get to school tomorrow and be on time. And you just get distracted, right? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about how in this series, how can we become less distracted and really be intentional in our prayer time. So I think a lot of us just get bored or we get distracted when we pray, because we might think it's kind of a boring thing. Well, actually, prayer is a boring thing if all you're doing is talking. But prayer is a very different thing if you're doing some listening. And seeing how God is moving in your life. But number three, I think another reason many of us don't pray is that a lot of us aren't really sure what to pray for, right? Over the years as a pastor, I've talked with folks. There are some people who are like, you know, I was taught that I'm not supposed to pray for me. I just should pray for other people. Or we don't know, like, can I pray for the little things? Like, I got a test today. Is it okay to pray for that? Or I have this big project at work. Is it okay to pray for that? Or, hey, my car is starting to break down. God, I really need a new car. Or, you know, whatever it is. So many of us, we think, man, I don't even know what to pray for. Is there a list? Like, is it okay to pray for this but not for that? Or is it okay to pray for some things and not all things? So, like, I don't even know what to pray for. Some of us might be there. I think number four, a reason that many of us don't pray is that a lot of us aren't sure, this is a biggie, a lot of us really aren't sure whether or not our prayers make a difference. I think if we're really honest, many of us think, does my prayer make a difference? Like, are there things that God will or won't do until and unless I pray? Like, is there something about this divine human relationship that we have with God? Like, will my prayers really make a difference? If I pray for this, might God do something? Or is it just an exercise in futility? So I think for many of us, we're just not quite sure if our prayers make a difference or not. One of the reasons I think that that happens is that many of us, we get into what I call just the, dear God, I need. I want. Thank you, goodbye. And then we forget what we prayed for. And we don't even think back and reflect at some time in the future. Hey, I prayed for that, and this happened, and something changed, and wow, maybe God did something because I prayed. You ever get there? Like, can't even remember what you prayed for yesterday, let alone the days or weeks or months or years before then. So I think for many of us, we're just not sure whether or not our prayer makes a difference. Now, as I was just kind of reviewing this message this morning and kind of going through it, there were a couple other reasons that I thought I'd just throw out there for you of why I think that many of us don't pray. Number five, slide please. Some of us don't pray because we already know, or we think we know, what God will say. Right? So we're like, I better not pray for that because there's no way God's going to say yes to that one. Now, some of that is completely justified because we know we shouldn't be praying for that, right? Because God's not going to say, here. Or some of us think, well, in my gut, I know that's a no, so maybe I shouldn't even be praying for it. So I think for some of us, we know. We won't pray because we know or we think we know what God will say or might say. And then number six, I think many of us don't pray because some of us used to pray but stopped because somewhere along the line, God didn't answer our prayer the way that we hoped he would. We've all been there, right? I mean, if we're really honest, we prayed about things and God said, no. I mean, I have shared with you, I'm so blessed because there have been other times before I met my wife, I'm like, Lord, she's got to be the one. He's like, no, 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 no. He was saving this very special gift for me. Or there's other things that I prayed when God says, no, that is not good for you. You're not getting that. So, but I think for some people, that actually causes them to stop praying because they prayed really hard. You know, the hard thing is God's ways are not our ways. God knows stuff that we don't know. Man, those are tough parts of the Christian life. But I think there's lots of reasons. You may come up with some other reasons of why people don't pray. But in his book, Dangerous Prayers, Craig Rochelle writes this: a lot of us go through life truly believing in God, but having a half-hearted or sometimes non-existent prayer life. That was me for a great deal of my life, that I really didn't pray much. Now, over the years, my prayer life has ramped up. I'm discovering what it means to pray without ceasing. I'm praying about and for everything. But, you know, it seems like God brings stuff into my vision, like at just the right time. As I was thinking about this series and wanting to do something on prayer, we had just talked about it in our leadership team last month. And then I get this announcement that Greg Rochelle, one of my favorite authors, he's a pastor, he pastors his church out west, he wrote a book called Dangerous Prayers, which is actually the catalyst for the name of this series and some of the things that we're going to be talking about. And I want to encourage you, if you're a reader or if you're not, do it anyways. Like, we have made some of these books available. They're in the lobby, $15. If you want to deepen your prayer life, I'd encourage you to pick up one of these books and start reading it and be challenged what Greg has to share with us about prayer and about praying. And so they're out there, and if the books run out, you can find this on Amazon or Christian Book or anyplace else. I would encourage you to do that and just read it and just dig into it and see what God wants to teach you about prayer. Because again, I believe this is true. I think many of us, we just go through life. We're like, people say, you believe in God? I'm like, oh yeah, 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 yeah. I'm a Christian. I thought, you know, I go to worship. I sing. My radio, it's on 95.1. And it's the only radio that I listen. Like, we're all there. But then we say, tell me about your prayer life. That I think many of us, if we're really honest, we just don't pray much. And I believe with all my heart that God longs for our prayer, that he so deeply and passionately wants to hear from us and to position ourselves so we hear from him. So we're going to spend some time looking about and looking at prayer. So, of course, the next question is, what is prayer? And I want to demystify this. I want to make this as simple as I possibly can for everyone. And so this is a simple definition. Prayer is simply communicating with God. Prayer is simply talking and listening to God. It's like any other conversation that we have. It is simply taking time to communicate with, to talk to God. There's a great verse here from Psalm 5, verses 1 through 3, where David writes this. He says, O Lord, hear me as I pray. Pay attention to my groaning. That's an interesting word. Hold on to a minute. He says, listen to my cry for help, my King and my God. For I pray to no one but you. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly. Do you believe that David believed in the power of prayer? Like when you read that psalm, you know, so first of all, he says, you know, in my groaning, I love that because you ever have those times where you don't even know what to pray for? And you're just like, God understands what that is. Because other translations use the word meditation, sighing. I love that. That sometimes our is one of the deepest forms of communication we got at the moment with God. It can be our laments where we just cry out to God. David believed that when he cried out to God, that God listened to him. Because look what he says. He says, but listen to my cry, O God. He is my King and he is my God, that he prays to no one else but him. That he believes that when he prays, God listens. And he believes that God does because David waits expectantly. David waits believing that there are things that God is going to do because he prays. And my friends, the same exists today. I am confident that there are things that God will or will not do until and unless we pray. Now, we can't say, well, I prayed, so I know that God's going to answer it in the same way that I want, because it just doesn't work that way. But there is a mystery in here that there are things that God either will not or will do until and unless we pray. So what do I want you to do? I want you to pray. I just want you to pray. I want you to start communicating with God. I want you to start sharing with God what is on your heart and what is on your mind, just like you would your closest friend, because God longs to hear from you. So we can pray, we can communicate with God. Now, how does God want us to do that? When we look at the Bible and we say, okay, so how exactly is it that God wants to talk to us? How is it that we are supposed to talk to God? And I think Scripture lays out some pretty simple kind of rubrics for us of how is it that we can actually talk to God. The first one, this might blow your mind. God wants us to talk to him, number one, with gut-level honesty. We don't have to sugarcoat anything. We don't have to use any special language. That God is big enough to handle us right where we are. That we can share, we can scream, we can cry, we can weep. We can talk loud, we can talk soft. That God can handle us coming before him with complete honesty, with no show and no pretense. All we got to do is talk to him. Now, it's interesting because in the Scriptures, we find a lot of instructions actually on prayer. And it seems to me that there's like one rule. That there's only one kind of prayer that God doesn't really like. So we can come with him with gut-level honesty. But there's just like something that he doesn't really like. And we see this in Matthew 6, 5, and 7. Look what it says. when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. So what does this mean? Is it, the guy says, you, like, don't just talk for everybody else to hear. Don't try to be super impressive. Just talk to me. And he says, and don't just keep babbling on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Now, that's a, there's a tension that's in there because God does want us to talk with him. But he, it's just, we want to make sure that we're doing this, right? So we want to share with God what is on our hearts and our minds, and we want to lay that before him and then let him answer it. Now, this gut-level honesty, I've shared this with other folks, and I said, you know, you can find this in the Bible. I want to show you a prayer that David prayed with gut-level honesty that we find in Psalm 3, verse 7. Look what it says. David prayed this, "Arise, O Lord, rescue me, my God. Slap all my enemies in the face and shatter the teeth of the wicked." Aren't you glad that somebody could put that in the Bible? Now, Of course, God's probably not going to answer that prayer with the affirmative, right? Okay, I'll get right on that, David, right? But what that teaches us is that we can just come before God right where we are. We might be super glad or we might be super hurting. We might be in times of joy or we might be in times of serious anguish. The point is, we can come before God with complete honesty, gut-level honesty, and just talk to God. Because we see this promise in Psalm 145, verse 18. It says, "The Lord is close to all who call on him." All you got to do is call on him. All you got to do is just pray. Can you say that? Just pray. Get started. Do it somewhere. Just start talking to God because he longs to hear from us. So, rule number one, or rubric number one, how is it that we're supposed to do it? We can pray with gut-level honesty. Number two, we can pray about everything that matters to us. Want to make sure you're awake. Can you say everything? Awesome. We can pray about everything that is on our hearts and our minds. We can share with God whatever is going on, everything that we want to talk to him about. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." You might never have heard this before. You can pray about everything. You can pray about your car. You can pray about your job. You can pray about your future. You can pray about your kids. You can pray about your parents. You can pray about anything and everything. When we look through the Bible, let me give you several of these different things that people prayed for in the Bible. Zechariah wanted a son, and so he prayed, "God, please give us a son." Solomon asked God for wisdom. Above all else, Solomon said, "God, give me wisdom." Moses and Samson both asked God for water in a time where there wasn't water. They prayed, "God, give us water." Daniel had a weird dream, and he didn't know what it meant, so he prayed and said, "God, what does this mean?" Gideon felt called by an angel of the Lord to do something. And so he was like, "God, if this is you, I need a sign. I need proof. God, let me see that this is really from you." Those are good tests. We sometimes need to say, like, "God, I had this like weird dream, and I feel like I'm supposed to do this. Like, should I really do that?" And it's good to ask because it might have just been you ate something really bad last night, and it caused you to have nightmares. So we should pray. We should ask God, "Give me a sign for this," right? Abraham had a servant who prayed that God would give him favor to find a wife for Abraham's son, Isaac. "Grant me success today as I go on my journey," he prayed. And you know what? God gave him success. David prayed for forgiveness after sinning with Bathsheba. One of the most famous psalms in all of the book of Psalms. Psalm 51, he's praising, God, create in me a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore the joy of your salvation. He prayed. Elijah prayed that it would rain. God, make it. No, I'm sorry. First he said, God prayed that it would rain. And not rain. He says, God, make it stop. 3.5 years, it didn't rain. And then he prayed again, God, make it rain. Poof, there was rain. Paul prayed about something that bothered him. This thorn, something in his side. And he pleaded with God 3 times. God, take it away. God gave Paul the ability to withstand it, to lean into him. He didn't take the pain away, but he gave Paul what he needed to be able to lean into God. The disciples, they prayed for boldness. Make us bold in the midst of persecution. Jesus, he prayed all the time. Jesus prayed that his disciples would be one, would be unified. Know this, if it matters to you, it matters to God. Really? If it matters to you, it matters to God. When we look through the Bible, what we discover is that all these different things mattered to God's people, and so much more. They took their requests before God, and it mattered to God because it mattered to his children. What matters to you? Talk to God about it. Pray about it. You have an ailment or an illness that plagues you? Pray about it. You feel hurt? Your feet hurt? I need like bifocals seriously bad today because I can't see my notes. I made the font too small. Your feet hurt at the end of a 10-hour workday? Pray about it. You got a car on its last leg? Pray about it. You've got a project at school or work and you're not sure how to start or where to start? Pray about it. Your child is struggling at school? Pray about it. You're concerned about the economy? Thank you. Okay, that wasn't that hard. I'm getting a little worried. You're not staying connected with me. Fear is beginning to get the best of you. There's a tension in your family and you're worried about it. See, we are told in the scriptures in 1 Peter 5:7, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. So if it matters to you, it matters to God. So we are encouraged in scripture to pray with gut level honesty. We are encouraged to pray about everything that matters to us. Number 3, we are encouraged to pray continually. Yes, continually. That means that we do this when we're up or when we're down, when it's good, when it's bad. That we just try to cultivate this kind of life where we're just praying all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, always be joyful. Then this, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So God just wants us to pray continually. We pray as we're walking. We pray as we're driving. We pray as we're working. We pray as we're reading. Is that we just have the opportunity to talk to God all the time. God, would you help me with this? If a name pops into your head, say, God, I don't know why that name just popped into my head, but I just want to lift them up before you. Maybe they're going through something right now. And so, Lord, I pray the power of heaven would just be made real in their life right now. You're walking along and you see somebody who's really down and out, and you're like, God, am I supposed to do something here? Would you just help me to see what I'm supposed to do? Do I need to stop? Do I need to help? Do I need to do something? God, my car, I don't even know if I'm going to make it to tomorrow with this. God, could you just help me out? I need to know if the car, should I keep it? Should I let it go? What should I do with it? Could be somebody in your class, guys, students who you see, man, they're just going through some really difficult times. And maybe what you do is like, God, I see that they're really angry. Or I just see that they're kind of tearing up over there. God, is there something I'm supposed to say, something I'm supposed to do to help them? that we just pray continually. You've heard the expression, we pray without ceasing. We just cultivate this place in our life where we're just praying all the time. If there's one place in my faith, one place in my life, is I'm seeking to cultivate this, where I'm just trying to be in this attitude of prayer all the time. Sometimes I need to say, God, would you just take that image out of my head, because I don't know where that came from. Or God, would you just take that negative thought that I just thought about him or her in that situation, would you just take that and just throw that aside for me? God, would you help me to see that person the way you see them, because the way I see them, I don't really like them. Is that I'm just asking God all the time. I'm trying to just be in this place that I'm just praying and I'm seeking God and what he wants and what he wants to do to me and with me and through me and, yes, even in spite of me. And so we discover that and we develop that by praying continually. Now, I came across this great acronym. You know what an acronym is, right? So it's like the first letters of something, like stands for something else. And this acronym is PUSH. We pray continually and we push. What does that mean? Because I've often had people say, so when do I stop praying? Like, I've prayed about this and prayed, like, just say, stop praying because is the answer, because I didn't get an answer, is that a no? Or do I, how do I keep praying? And I found this and I thought this was a great expression, that we pray until something happens. So how do you know when to stop? You stop when something happens. How do you know if you should just keep going? You just pray until something happens. And again, it may not be what you want, but you pray until something happens. You believe that God is doing stuff because we pray. And so it's a great strategy that we just keep praying until something happens. Jesus tells this parable in Luke's gospel. We find it in Luke chapter 18. It's called the parable of the persistent widow. And Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like, and he tells this story about this woman who needed a ruling from a judge, and she kept going to this judge over and over and over, and he's like not wanting to do anything with it. And she just keeps going back before the judge and saying, Judge, you need to do something about this. You need to do something about this. This is my problem. This is what I need. I need you to do something. And Jesus actually says in this parable that the kingdom of God is like that person, that woman who keeps going before the judge, that they're persistent. So when do we stop praying? Or how much do we pray? We pray until something happens. We just keep in it. James 5:16 says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power, and look at this, and produces wonderful results. Like, do you see that? Like, it says that in the Bible, that our prayers have great power and produce wonderful results. Now, here's the converse. What happens if you don't pray? No power, no results. Now, yes, God might still do some stuff, but I am absolutely convinced that there are things that God is waiting for us to pray for. That there are things, as my mentor in my faith, Dr. Maxie Denham, he was the president of my seminary, who said often, there are things that God either will not or cannot do until and unless his people pray. Not that he cannot, like he's powerless, but cannot, like he won't. That there are things that God won't do until and unless we pray. And so we've got to pray because there is power in our prayer. There's results that happen because we pray. So we need to be a people who experience that power all the time, right? So we should pray until something happens. We pray continually. So let's review. What do we know about prayer? That we should pray with gut-level honesty. That we should pray about everything. That we should pray continually. And then number four, we should listen for his response. I think that's so hard for us, because most of us are ADD prayers. We do it, and then we're like, psh, out of there. Or we just don't position ourselves to really hear from God once we have prayed. We don't take the time to just stop and to say, okay, God, I just laid this all before you. Talk, and then listen and see what God has to say. There's a great story from the Old Testament about Samuel. You can find it in 1 Samuel 3:10. Is that in the middle of the night, God begins to speak to Samuel, but Samuel thinks it's somebody else. And so he's like, what? Who's talking to me? And finally, he positions himself, and he says, and the Lord came and called us before Samuel, Samuel. And this time Samuel replied, and he said, speak, your servant is listening. For some of us, that might be the most dangerous prayer we have ever prayed. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Because God might call you to do something way out of your comfort zone. God might call you to start giving financially. God might call you to go serve on a mission trip. We got three of our students heading to Guatemala in just a couple weeks and super excited about all the cool stuff that they're going to do. They're giving up their spring break to go serve people in Guatemala. That God might call you to do something that is like way out of your comfort zone. And I promise you, what you experience as a result of living in obedience to God is priceless. You've seen the commercial, right, for Discover. They talk about all the things, diamond ring, $3,000, vacation to Mexico, $10,000. Then they say something else, you're like, priceless. Well, when we listen, the creator of the universe, the God who stepped out of heaven to save our sinless people, talks to us. Because he wants to be in a relationship with us. That he listened. He listens. And we should listen to him. You see, God not only wants to hear us, but he wants us to hear him. Again, I think this is really tough for most of us. Because, again, it might be like that learning how to pray. We've never been taught by anybody or learned, hey, like, that means I need to stop and listen. Or I actually need to scan the horizon to figure out how might God actually talk to me. Because I will give you a clue. God's usual way of working isn't, hey, Rob, I want you to go here. Now, he does that. He actually, I believe, I have heard the voice of God before in some of my prayers. But that's not the way he works all the time. Actually, I think that's the way he usually doesn't work. But God has like thrown things our way so that we can actually hear his voice. You see, God speaks to us through his word. That if we want to know what God wants us to do, like start reading your Bible. Because it'll lay out way easy for you. These are things God wants you to do. These are things God doesn't want you to do. This is the kind of life God wants you to have. This is the kind of life God doesn't want you to have. God's going to speak to you through his word. It's amazing, as a matter of fact, and most of you would attest to this if you've been in scripture. You're reading it and you happen to read something that day and you're like, why in the world did I come across that today? And that's exactly what I'm dealing with today. Maybe God worked things out so that you'd listen. So we could hear that. God often speaks through his spirit. Some might refer to that as your conscience. But I believe that as believers in Christ, I believe God's speaking to our spirit all the time. Like when you're doing something you know you shouldn't be doing, and inside every you hear this screaming, stop! No, 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 no. Or when you're doing something that is like spot on and you know that you're supposed to be doing it, and you like getting this high from it, and you get this sense inside that God's going, yes, 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 yes. That's my girl. That's my guy. God speaks to us that way by his spirit. God speaks to us through his people. Now, caveat, be careful who you listen to. But God will speak to us through his people, encouraging word, maybe a word of rebuke. We got to listen to how God's going to talk to us through other people. Again, God may talk to us audibly. God may talk to us through our circumstances. You ever have those things where you're like going through something and you're like, why am I going through this right now? Well, maybe God has something that he wants us to learn in the midst of this. God might speak to us visually. We might see something and we're like, whoa, I just prayed about that and I see that and I'm smart so I can connect the dots. Like maybe God is like painting a picture for me of what is supposed to happen. The point is that God speaks to us. Are we listening? That he not only wants to hear us, but he wants us to hear him. As a matter of fact, in John 10:27, Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." We listen. We listen, and we do. So the challenge today for all of us is to just pray. Just pray. Talk to God the way you would talk to anyone else. Just be gut level honest with God. Like, share with God what's really on your heart and on your mind, because he can take it and he wants to hear it. Number two, talk to God about everything that matters to you. Everything, because if it's important to you, it is important to God. And he wants to lead you and guide you and help you and support you. Number three, to pray continually. To pray without ceasing. To cultivate a lifestyle where we're just praying all the time and talking to God. God, what do you think? Should I do this? Should I not do this? Which way should I go? God, should I give? Should I do this? What should I do? And position yourself to listen to his response. God wants us to pray continually about everything. So my challenge to you as we begin this series and as we begin moving out into some treacherous waters, into some potential places for discomfort. Thank you. That was awesome. Doesn't that happen at just the worst times? And so God just wants us to pray, to just pray. So we're going to give you a chance to do that. We're going to do another song, and here's what I want to encourage you as Isaiah comes up and we do this next song. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want you to pray. Now, you could pray through the music that they're going to lead us in. You could just sit there and pray, because maybe there's something on your heart right now that you need to lay that out before God, because maybe you haven't done that yet, and God wants to hear about that. Maybe you have a big, challenging thing that you're facing right now, and you need to ask God what you should do, and maybe he's the one person you haven't asked yet. Maybe you've sought counsel from a lot of people, but maybe you haven't asked God yet. Maybe you haven't prayed and given your life to God. That you haven't said, God, take my life. Take my life and let it be all for you. And begin to walk in this place of faith, to position yourself so that you might experience the abundant life that God has for you. Because maybe you've never prayed about that. This morning, I want you to pray. Whatever it is, I want you to pray.